Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 296, top of the day to you, Steph.
Hi!
Tuesday is when we record, usually, and this is a Tuesday. It's quite warm in Sydney.
It's very warm. I'm sitting in a singlet top.
Yeah, where last
shoulders
week...
Shoulders out.
Yeah, last week it would have been what? Jumper weather?
Jumper, definitely Ugg boots because we're Australian. Yeah, that's what you wear when it gets a little bit cool. Yeah, dramatic difference.
Comfort shoes.
Mm.
That's what they
We go from Uggs to thongs.
Yeah.
Not underwear thongs.
No.
We wear thongs on our feet.
Yes.
Not underwear on our feet.
We're just not going to elaborate. We're just going to leave it at that and let you try and figure out what we're talking about. Think of it as a game show, which is what the quiz is about today.
Ooh.
About game shows. So you'll have to cast your mind back.
I get to play a game about game shows.
That's exactly it. We've got a bit of news, which is a good thing because that's a whole segment. And, of course, we have some watching suggestions for you as well. We will go through those. Steph has told me that there is a couple of things that you have watched independently, so I don't even know, so I'll be enjoying the watching suggestions.
You should enjoy them because that is the point of this
podcast.
Of
a watching suggestion. Oh, I keep forgetting. It's confusing trying to remember all of these things.
But I think... you would thoroughly enjoy one of my watching suggestions.
Okay.
And I just have this feeling that you're going to turn around halfway through my description and say, oh, you've seen this.
Watch that.
Yeah. But
maybe, because there's one that I've got that I haven't spoken about. And I think.
Goodness. Imagine if it's a jinx situation.
Yeah, maybe. And then I've got another one that, I don't know, I wasn't that fussed. I watched like four episodes of, and then I'm like, that's enough to talk about it, you know?
Yeah. Look, in saying that, I started watching a movie.
Yeah.
And I only lasted 10 minutes before I thought, I can't do this.
I
switched and found the amazing show.
Oh, so it was worth it. Mm-hmm. Well, remember I did that with that Kim Cattrall show. Was it Fabulous or Glamorous or something?
I was about to say Scandalous. It wasn't Scandalous. Glamorous?
Glamorous?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
10 minutes, I was like, nah.
Can't do it.
This is not.
Life is not long
enough. Yeah, I'm just not going to enjoy this. I can't even be bothered. I don't want to watch it to talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Having said that, now I'm talking about it.
Twice, because we did talk
about
it.
Yeah, we've already. Well, 10 minutes well spent, I guess. That worked out well, really well. Very well. Let's get into the news.
For a visual representation of this audio, check out the Watchers podcast on Instagram.
So Charles Martinet is a name that you may or may not know, but you definitely know his voice when he says, Wahoo! Or It's-a-me, Mario.
See.
Yeah, exactly. He is the voice of Mario and has been for a very long time, and he's retiring.
Oh.
Yeah, he's stepping down was the official word from Nintendo. So he started, I think, Mario 64. So he was six. So that Mario 64 was when he started being the voice of.
Yes.
And now he is moving into the brand new role of Mario Ambassador. I have no idea what that means. Maybe he's going to go to trade shows and that kind of thing, or, you know, conventions and have his photograph taken with people. I'm not really sure. But Nintendo said in a statement, with this transition, he will be stepping back from the recording character voices for our games, but he'll continue to travel the world sharing the joy of Mario and interacting with you all. So I guess maybe they have enough recordings of him going, wahoo!
I have a few questions as to
how
much Mario voice is actually included in a game.
Yeah.
I don't have a Nintendo, so I don't know. Who stepped down?
The voice.
No, like as in, did he decide to step down?
Oh, sure, sure.
Or did they say,
yeah, I know.
Your voice is starting to sound a little bit like an older gentleman, older Italian gentleman. We need a younger sounding Mario.
Please don't be Chris Pratt again. Not that I have anything against Chris Pratt, but he didn't do the voice, right?
And why not?
Would it have been too grating for that voice to, like that character voice to be in a whole entire movie? I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know.
I feel like that voice is Mario.
It is Mario. Like,
it's just as iconic as the image.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least to do a few. You only have to say, it's a me, Mario, once, right?
I assume so. I'm also now thinking, I know that they announced one or two new Mario games at their last direct or whatever they call them. I wonder if they don't have his voice in it. So ahead of releasing it, they needed to announce this. I don't know. I'm just having a...
I'd like more information in these press releases.
More information, please.
I don't want the media spin on it. I just want to know the dirt.
And if it's boring dirt, just in the, like, shortest of hands. I don't want a massively long explanation and then be bored whilst it's happening.
These articles that are, like, half a page long to a full page long and you think, nothing was said. I don't want to read it. Or you know when they've got their headline, their sub-headline? In their sub-headline could be boring dirt. I've written the article because I was told to.
I had to, but you don't need to read it.
Just letting you know.
Just scroll.
Boring dirt.
Just
you know
scroll.
What I really
click
like?
Click on the ads.
ABC.
Yeah.
On their Instagram.
Oh,
even
yeah,
just,
that's
no,
good.
Actually, even on their web pages, they have the headline and then there's about four dot points just underneath, summed it up.
So good.
And then if you're still interested, read the article.
If you want to, you don't have
Bloody
to.
Bloody brilliant,
it's
ABC.
Amazing. Britney Spears' musical, which I did not know was a thing, called Once Upon a One More Time, is closing on Broadway.
Oh.
Apparently it hasn't been as successful as they hoped.
Is it a musical about Britney?
Well, it's a fairy tale princess storyline.
Okay.
In search of enlightenment. But
using the Britney songs?
They use
like
the Britney
songs. Like in the We Will Rock You style?
Your Jagged Little Pill musical kind of thing. Yes.
Interesting. The storyline mustn't have been
good. It mustn't have been good because people would have gone.
The music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We all know Britney songs.
Yeah. I was actually in the supermarket this afternoon and Britney was on and I was singing.
Which one?
Oh, now you've got me.
Oh, no. How embarrassing.
The taste of your lips are toxic.
Yeah. You know, I was actually going to say, I wonder what part of the storyline would have had toxic in it. Would it have been like a toxic toad or something?
Yes. Or the poison apple.
Yeah, poison apple. All of, yeah, interesting. So it, I think, started its life not that long ago. If it was, November 2021 in Washington, D.C. It's made its way to Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
I think it opened there in May and now it's closing.
Ooh.
I think I've got the timeline correct.
I always feel for the people in the cast and the crew.
I know.
And the, yeah. I mean, it takes several years to get a Broadway show up and running.
Yeah.
I mean, then you have to write the song, so that's probably a big head start. I find that disappointing.
Yeah, I'm disappointed by that as well. So I'll do a bit of a frown and then potentially move on.
Yeah, just put Spotify on and sing some songs.
Yeah, no, that'll be fine. Dave Bautista is a man who seems to be in a lot of things, right?
Yeah.
He's in a lot.
I think you mention him every week.
And it's because I'm like, another thing?
Another thing.
Well, now I've got to talk about it because it's another thing.
Headline grabber, you, Dave.
Davey Boy and Jace.
Oh,
Jace Momoa.
Yeah, yeah.
Are going to be in a film. It's called The Wrecking Crew, right? And it's going to have these two blokes in it. Both stars were in talks for the film. This is from Hollywood Reporter before the actor's strike commenced.
Mm-hmm.
So they're able to, because you know how casting news is non-existent, they're able to announce this.
Yeah.
So I don't know what this is about because there are
The writers are on strike.
The writers are on strike. No one's talking about it. It's just described as a buddy comedy. No other information is given at all. If you're kind of thinking, well, what's the flavor of it? I mean, you've got Dave and Jason in there. Okay, kind of get an idea. But it's from the director of Blue Beetle.
Mm-hmm.
So that might give you a bit of an idea of what it could be. But I'm sort of assuming it might be your Lethal Weapon kind of buddy thing, you know, like funny, we're off to
that's
get these.
What I'm,
yeah,
that's
they might
what
be
I'm
cops
thinking.
Or someone.
Wrecking crew.
They've got to be
Demolition?
What if it's like the new version of Fast and the Furious, but instead of going fast and furiously, they just wreck things?
Yeah. They're a like amusement park type things, like where you can just drive diggers and smash things
Maybe
around.
Maybe that's what it is.
Maybe that's what they do. That's their job. They work at one of those places.
And then some strange comings and goings happen, and there are bad guys, and they've got to...
Who've been hiding things in the stuff
bad
to be
things.
Destroyed.
Maybe drugs or something.
Oh, yeah,
we
totes.
Don't know.
Totes.
We don't know because we haven't written the story.
And they accidentally got just... jumbled up in it.
Yes.
And they're being framed.
So they've got to clear their names.
And wreck their way out of this disaster.
They're both big blokes. So I think if it's going to be a bit of a comedy, they will have to get into a small car together.
Yeah.
I think it's going to happen.
And it's yellow.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Or it's red for go faster, but it doesn't.
It goes really slow.
It goes real.
Because they can't move the gears because there's no
no leg room for them to do that. This is a great story and I'm really looking forward to watching the movie when it appears in my lounge room.
Yeah.
Lionsgate is a place where people make movies,
mm-hmm.
and they've brought back mask mandates for The Office, at least The Office within Santa Monica. That is in LA.
Yeah.
Do you know how I know that?
California, Santa Monica.
Yeah. Do you know why I know that?
No.
Sheryl Crow.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you've been there.
Oh, I have been there.
Yeah.
And when I was there, I couldn't get Sheryl Crow's song stuck out of my head. It's not even a saying. What am I talking about?
Why are they wearing a mask?
Because you know how there's that new variant of COVID?
No, but now I'm
Oh, you didn't know? So it's from America. It starts with E. It's a variant and it's become
COVID?
COVID. Charles Martinet is his new voicing job to voice the new variant. I am here. Hey, Chester. Oh, he's left. I thought he was going to come and help. Oh, yeah, he's at the door. He's at the door. He's pretending he can't hear us, but his ears are back. Because there's a new variant there and it's going a bit gangbusters from what I've heard.
Eek.
There's been a few... positive cases within this building, within the office. So they're actually asking employees to do rat tests before they arrive at work. And everybody that goes into the office must wear a mask for the whole day, which is something that we did 2 years ago and we got quite used to it. So
I've got people at my work who still
do it,
don a mask if they're feeling sick or if lots of other people are snotty around them.
Yeah, I've got there's one lady in particular, she still wears it all day, every day, you know, just within the people that I know. Obviously, I don't know everybody.
Yeah.
And then one guy today was wearing one and I said, oh, how are you going? He goes, oh, I've either got hay fever or I'm coming down with something, so I'm wearing this today.
I like that practice.
Yeah, me too.
I'm coming down with something so I will protect all of you from getting my germs.
It's sensible. It's very considerate, you know, just being considerate.
Very.
Thinking about the people around them. So I'm really happy about that. And if it stops them from having to have a whole heap of people off from the office, great.
Do it.
Yeah, just do it. We have got a quiz a little bit later on and that will be about the one and the only. It's not the one and the only. It's just a quiz about game shows. So we'll test your knowledge.
Ding, 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 ding.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Chester's back at the door. He's helping. Thanks for helping, little boy. He's a black cat. He's gone again. I think he actually wants dinner. I think that's what it's about. But he can have dinner after this watching suggestion segment. Oh, and the quiz. Segment.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
So what's this mysterious thing that you've been watching?
Which mysterious one?
I don't know.
Okay. I will tell you what I started with.
Okay, that sounds good.
So I started watching a movie on SBS On Demand and it was named Boiling Point and it was about a chef. And it started off with obviously things have happened. It was like, okay, this storyline is going to build. It's going to progress and you're just going to find out what's happening. And 10 minutes into it, all that had happened was that
someone boiled water.
Like a health inspector came. We watched the whole scene of the health inspector and then the head chef sat down and reiterated the whole scene of the health inspector to the staff who were standing in the kitchen when the health inspector was there. And I went, I can't do this. I can't watch it. So I had to put it down. I had to press pause.
Where was it from?
America.
Okay.
Yeah, America. The preview of it looked really good. I thought, oh, this will be interesting. Something a bit different.
Yeah, different.
Because not made like a big Hollywood blockbuster. It was a more a dendy one. I thought, I'm in the mood for something like that.
Yeah, sometimes you've got to watch that kind of thing.
Yeah, and it just couldn't get me. So anyway, I stayed with SBS and I thought, I'm going to find
something. Come on, SBS. You've got heaps of stuff. Oh, Eddie's here. Hi, Eddie.
Hi, Eddie.
Eddie's a ginger cat.
Oh.
He's trying to walk onto the computer. No, we're recording, bud. We don't need a kitten's
you can't
help.
Destroy things. Anyway, Come on. Oh, he's got a little white bit on his nose. Like he just sniffed liquid paper a bit too closely. So from that one, which I was a bit disappointed that it wasn't going to come through for me, I started looking and I found possibly the best travel food show that I have seen in a really long time.
It's literally my favourite genre of TV show.
It is your favourite genre. And it is Stanley Tucci Searching for Italy. That's what it's called. Now, Stanley,
is this relatively new?
I think so, because he kept talking about he arrived in Italy.
Ignore the sounds. It's just Eddie falling into a box. Yep.
Might be a few more sounds where he tries to get out. You're out?
He's out.
Okay. So Stanley Tucci kept mentioning that when they arrived in Italy, Italy had just opened up again after COVID-19. And he said, you know, we're going to adhere to all the practices and policies of that area. Anyway.
So is that to eat lots of food?
Pretty much. Okay. And occasionally they don't stand near each other. They stand, you know, a metre or two away when he's talking to people. Okay. So Stanley Tucci, as we all know, is that incredible actor. But he has this suaveness that is George Clooney-esque.
Yes, I agree. I know what you mean.
You just kind of go, this man is everything.
Yeah.
He's incredible. And he's Italian on both sides. And so...
Just climbing up my leg with his claws.
There was this incredible moment of Stanley Tucci dressed smartly, not in a suit.
He's always a smart dresser.
He's a very smart dresser. Kind of squatting down on the side of a dirt road eating freshly picked tomatoes with two other guys speaking fluent Italian discussing the origins of this tomato. And I thought, this is amazing. It truly is amazing. And I thought, you can't have a travel show about Italy without talking about encompassing the food. Like, food is life in Italy. It's not just a saying. It is life. And this particular, I guess I'll call it a doco series because it is a couple of episodes. It really goes into the history of the food and how the food became the culture and influenced different regions and different behaviours in society.
Like within Italy or worldwide?
Within Italy, okay. But of course worldwide. But they were talking about, you know, this particular fried bread was derived because there was an epidemic of cholera and frying food was the healthiest way of eating but without getting cholera. I had no idea about that. And then that sort of became a pizza and all of this. Anyway, the food in this show is beautiful. You watch shows and you're like, oh, that'd be so delicious. I was sitting there with a massive smile on my face the entire time and just thinking, I've never wanted to eat a slice of pizza more than I do right now.
Wow.
It's beautifully shot. His narration is outstanding. Of course, it's outstanding.
It's a Tucci.
the fact that he is conversing in fluent Italian with them, he's joking with them, and, you know, he goes to restaurants that are family-run restaurants up in the hills, and they open up for him just on the weekend when it's usually a family thing, and they're discussing, you know, the order of how people get served this particular meal. It is a treasure, this show. I was watching it and I thought, oh, I'm going to have to like twist my arm, come on, twist my arm, but I will have to go back to the beginning and watch this with my husband, really? Who is an Italian chef and will absolutely love it. When the first episode finished, I was so close to just keep watching because I thought, I love this. And all day since watching it, I've been feeling this incredible sense of joy and enlightenment.
Wow.
It is wonderful. I found it on SBS On Demand. It's called Stanley Tucci, Searching for Italy. And there's about, let me double check.
Whilst you're having a look for it, that certainly explains why his Instagram page was suddenly here, videos of him cooking stuff in his kitchen. Makes sense now.
Well, there was one restaurant that he went to with his second wife, and he said that anytime he goes to this restaurant, and there's one particular zucchini pasta, not pasta made from zucchini, but pasta made with zucchini that he and his wife try to recreate every single week. And they were cooking in front of him, and his wife had come for this particular restaurant, and they were both like, oh. Anyway, I've discovered there are two seasons. Each season has six episodes, and each season covers a different region of Italy.
Cool.
So it starts with Naples and the Amalfi Coast. He then goes on
Napoli.
Napoli. The Roma and Bologna, Milano. And then even in season two, he goes off to Venice and Piedmonte, Umbria. I'm going to watch every single episode, and I suggest you particularly, Leah, but everybody who has a stomach and eyes.
Have you got a stomach and eyes? Well, have we got the show for you?
Get on to it.
No, that sounds really good. All right, Stanley Tucci doing his own thing and doing it well by the sounds of it. Well, I watched a show on Netflix called Painkillers. It's got Matthew Broderick in it.
Oh, yeah.
And it is about the real story. It's a dramatization, but a real story of the bloke and the company, the pharmaceutical company that created and are behind Oxycontin.
Ooh.
And Oxycontin went on to become one of the most addictive prescription drugs there is. Is it even here in Australia? I don't know. I have no idea.
Not sure.
But over there you had people buying it to, you know, get high or sell it so that other people could get high, or people who legitimately had an injury and then ended up on it and then became addicted to it. It was pretty full on. But there was a bit of like, I don't know, I kind of felt like I'd watched enough of it.
Okay.
I watched four episodes. Yeah. Obviously something's going to happen at the end, probably, I don't know. Matthew Broderick's character, who is Richard Sackle, I think is his name. He's the head honcho of the company. Maybe he gets taken to court or something. I don't know. I've no idea. I don't know. But I watched enough of it. It was interesting. I now know more about Oxycontin, and it's like, for me, I just knew the name.
Yes.
Well, the people called it Oxy.
Yeah.
That's all I knew.
I thought it was Oxycontin.
Oh, it is Oxycontin, but I'm saying Oxycontin, sorry. And I've just said it the whole way through, but I'm not editing it out.
I thought it might have been two separate
things.
No,
sorry,
so
Oxycontin.
Good as each other.
Yeah, pretty much. But, yeah, so that is there if you want to know more about it. Or
I'm glad you watched it because I was looking at that to watch.
You might like it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. You've got your Stanley right now.
I've got my Stanley. I'm good for two seasons.
Yeah, you're okay.
Now.
You're going to be a little bit busy. So what's the other thing that you watched?
The other thing I watched was nothing new, but I watched the Australian Ballet's version of Sleeping Beauty.
Oh, you must have enjoyed that.
It was lovely. Now, I have seen it before live on stage.
Yes.
But
Was it this group?
It was this group.
Oh.
If you've got kids or you have you know, just want to sit down and watch something that's really beautiful, this is for you. The music's by Tchaikovsky, which is stunning. You'll notice some of the music in there, but it is a visual feast. The costumes are out of this world.
I bet they are.
Stunning. And at times you look at the dancers and you think, how are they actually moving in that?
Oh,
that
really?
That looks big and heavy, you know, for a tutu. And when you look closely, if you know the Australian Ballet well.
If you know, you know.
If you know, you know. The dancers in there are stunning, but they have even the king and the queen who are more acting parts. They're not so much dancing, but they are past principal dancers
cool.
of it.
And they always do it that way.
Yeah, always do it like that way. People who are, I guess, part of the wider family of the Australian Ballet. But I was looking and I'm like, oh, the queen is Lisa Bolte. Some of the cast have retired now, but what they did do, and I'm sure they did it purely just for this recording, was all of the fairies were all of their principal artists. So usually when a company's performing, they would only have one or two of the principal artists and they'd be resting the others for other shows. They all of them were principal artists or upcoming who are people who are principals now.
Yeah.
My goodness, did it raise the standards. I mean, the Australian Ballet is pretty high quality, but when you're looking at them, you're like, oh, my gosh, it's Lana Jones, Amy Harris, it's Robin Hendricks. It was stunning. It was incredible and beautiful. If you just, you know, a lovely Saturday afternoon or a evening where you just want to just relax into a story, it's a good one. I found it on ABC iView.
Oh, yeah.
So the Australian Ballet's Sleeping Beauty. And if you're really into it, they have a whole collection of Australian Ballet's works.
Oh, really?
On there. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Coppelia, Cinderella, lots and lots and lots. So,
not Spinderella. Don't be confused. Not Spinderella.
No.
That's, she's different. She, of course, is a close personal friend of Salt and Pepper. She's the third one.
That you don't talk about.
If you can, if you want, right? I don't know. Or isn't, or you're not supposed to. I don't know the rules.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know the salt and pepper rules. Okay. Maybe we shouldn't, yeah, just in case. I know I had to get out of it. Speaking of iView, I checked out Gold Diggers, which is an Australian comedy set in the 1850s in the gold fields.
Good.
Two ladies have decided that they need to, well, their sisters, need to go and find a soon-to-be wealthy husband, which, and also they're hiding from something that they may have potentially done in Sydney.
Which they definitely did.
No,
they did, didn't they? Yeah.
They probably did. Wacky characters. It's a comedy. I have been enjoying it. They speak like it's now.
Yeah.
So, you know, all their banter and the
vernacular.
Vernacular. Thank you. The vernacular is all very much
fun.
2023. And I like Australian comedies because I'm Australian and I want Australians to do more comedy. So I try and watch them whenever I can. Of course, you know, they had a lot to live up to because I think the last couple I've watched are literally Fisk and I've been rewatching Utopia.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. They do it really well.
I would recommend it. I think there's like 6 episodes. There's not a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
How many episodes? Let me have a quick little scroll. I lie, there's 8. 8 episodes.
Good amount. Really good amount.
Yeah. It feels like you get 2 bonuses.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Little bonuses.
You've chosen things today that I had like I'd seen the trailers
seen
of and
well.
I thought, oh,
yeah,
I really want to see that, really want to see it.
Yeah.
But my problem is I don't ever write things down. Mm. So I just rely on my memory.
Yeah, me too.
It doesn't work until you go and watch it. And then I go, that's what I wanted to watch. I'm glad you did it for me.
You're so welcome. Speaking of welcome, would you like to be welcomed into this quiz?
Yes, I would.
Ladies and gentlemen, come on down. It is time for this particular quiz, which is about game shows.
Ding, 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 ding.
So I'm going to do a little bit of a mixture here.
Okay.
I'm either going to give you the name of the show and you got to tell me who the host is, or I'm going to give you the name of a host.
Okay.
Or maybe several hosts over the years and you've got to tell me.
Can I ask a question? I always like to ask a question before we do a quiz.
It's a quiz where I ask you questions.
Yeah, I know. I just like to clarify the rules of the quiz. Is it just Australian quiz shows or is it?
I think they're all Australian ones that I picked.
Okay.
I think they are.
Because I was going to say the only American host I would know is Alex Tribeca.
We probably shouldn't do that one. Is that Jeopardy?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. No, we're not doing it. We're not doing it.
No, fine.
Jeez, come on. The first one is a TV show that I feel like's been around for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
It's Millionaire Hot Seat.
Oh, okay. Who's the host?
Yeah, sorry, who's the host?
That would be Mr. Eddie Maguire.
Yeah. Lock it in, Eddie.
Lock it in, Eddie.
Lock it in. Because he was also the host of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and this is kind of like the
feels like it was spin or something. Very, very similar format.
I think it's version 2.0.
Okay.
I've watched about 10 minutes of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really good at some of the answers.
Nice.
And then, you know, it's kind of like those, you know, like the quiz on the ABC.
Yeah. Yep.
You are really good at a couple of questions and then suddenly you get one that you're not good at and you get kicked out.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's a bit of strategy in that Millionaire Hot Seat as
you want to
circuit through the players so you come back on when the money's up high.
Yeah. Yeah. Tactics. Mm. Tactics.
Tactics.
Well done. Eddie Maguire. I'm going to ask you who the host was of... no, I'm not going to. I'm going to give you the name of the host.
Okay.
Grant Denyer.
Oh, Grant Denyer. Oh. Okay, so he did Dancing with the Stars, didn't he? But that's not a game
show.
That's
not a game show.
That's a variety dancing show. Oh!
Dancing, dancing. This is not a clue.
Oh, yeah. Grant Denyer.
If I was going to ask a whole heap of people,
yeah,
I'd say there'd be a certain amount of people out of 100 that would probably say the same thing.
Is it the one that has the case?
No.
Oh. 100 people, Family Feud.
Yeah, Family Feud, the newer version of it.
You know, I kind of always wanted to go on Family Feud.
It did sound fun, didn't
it? Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know my ultimate game show that I really, really wanted to go on?
Supermarket Sweep.
Supermarket Sweep.
I remember. That was good. They had that in the US as well. So if you are listening in the US, it's the same thing.
How would you not want to go on
Supermarket Sweep? Same with Family Feud, though. But
oh, my God. It'd be so much fun.
It would be fun.
So much fun.
Yeah. I would like to be more than that. I would like to be Coles, where I've made $1 billion profit.
Yeah.
That'd be all right.
Why do they not do this? Why would supermarkets not say, come on, let's bring it back?
Bring it on back.
We'll say our prices go down.
Oh, that's really good.
Find the cheapest thing in our Coles, not the most expensive.
No, not the most expensive. Yeah, because that doesn't bode well. Okay, yeah. It's time for Sale of the Century. Who is the host? There were a few, so you can just give me one.
Someone named Alex?
No, I think she was like maybe a lady.
Oh.
And I don't think she was Alex. I think she was...
I don't know.
Really? Elise was the one you were thinking about. Elise. Okay, I'm going to – okay, I'll say
Glenn, Tom Glenn.
No, I'm giving you both the names. You can pick which one you want to guess.
Glenn.
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
Tony
Glenn.
Tony Tony hairdresser.
Hairdresser. Tony Barber.
And of course, Glenn Ridge. You're right? No, she's not okay. Sale of the century.
I was thinking the names of our hairdressers, and I was like, Tony who?
Oh, I'm sorry, that
Tony
blew.
Tony Sarah.
I'll give you the name of two different hosts, Tony or Glenn. Glenn Tony. Nope. Okay. Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah.
Who can you give the name of one of the hosts? Or the lady that used to flip the letters.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to have that job. I really wanted to be that girl.
Okay.
Her name was Allison.
Alexandra.
Xanadu.
Xanadu.
Alexandra
Xanadu.
Xanadu's.
Yeah.
She was the best.
What about the actual host?
Tony Barber.
Yes. And also there was another one called John
Grisham.
When he wasn't being an American author, he also hosted the Australian version of Wheel of Fortune. John Burgess. Yes. Do you remember Burgess' catchphrase? That was a good one too.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Oh, God, I'm exhausted. Okay. Nope, we're going to continue though. We have to, because it's now time for letters and numbers, which I think has always been SBS. Are you sure? Oh. Okay.
Have I? Oh, gosh. I didn't do well with the shows I had seen. That's a letter. Richard. Morecambe.
Oh, so close.
Chrome. Morecambe.
Tomb Raider.
Croft. I've met him before.
Richard Moorcroft. And did you have a whole discussion where you talked about how he hosted Letters and Numbers?
Probably, yeah.
He was the newsreader on the ABC as well.
Yeah, that's how
though.
I knew him.
Okay, I think we've got two more.
Okay, doing well so far.
All right.
Zero.
Okay. Okay, what I think I'm going to do with this one is I'm going to give you the name of the host and I'll slowly give you a bit of information about it.
Okay.
James Sherry was the host, and it was from the early to mid-90s.
Vidiot.
It was a kid show on Channel 7.
Have you got – no, I knew who that person was. Kid show on Channel 7.
And they'd have like a bit of a maze run where they had to go through looking for letters and stuff.
Oh, my God,
this.
Yes. And then they had to bring the letters back together and make a word?
Yep.
I need more information. And they worked in little teams?
They worked
in three teams?
Maybe. And then there
were
was –
were they schools?
Maybe they were schools. But they also had to like – I think they had to jump on – a giant keyboard
to like type it in,
and it was a one word was one word name,
yeah,
and it started with A and ended with ing.
Amazing.
Yes.
I wouldn't have remembered the name of that, but I would watch that. I liked that show.
That was
show.
A good show. It was almost as good as the one that originally was hosted by Eden Gahar, and then I'm trying to think of the order. No, it was. I don't think it was originally hosted by Eden Gahar. I think it might have been, that guy that was on Triple J, I can't remember his name. Gary's probably shouting it right now, but I can't remember his name. But Eden Gahar and Scott McRae were the host. It was the ABC one. Leah had to go to it.
Vidiot. Amazing show.
And I had to go to it, and I knew because I watched it all the time that you wore normal clothes.
Yeah.
But a teacher who will go unnamed, even though I know her name.
Me too.
Said, no, you must go in your school uniform. So we got to the ABC, and then the show was like, well, all of you girls are in your school uniforms. You're not supposed to be in your school uniform, so we're going to put you at the back behind everybody from
and
other schools.
And it was so obvious you guys were in your school uniforms. Must have been so embarrassing.
We hated every second
of it. Yeah, I bet. And it was the best show.
Such a good show. Loved us so much. But even though we've ended it on a real downer of a memory, I feel like we've really completed this wonderful quiz about talk shows in a rather successful way.
Very successful.
We'll always remember Tony Barber.
Yeah.
In a hairdressing kind of way.
Yeah, I will.
So on that note, Stephanie, thank you very much.
Ding, 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 ding.